Welcome back to the Impact Lounge. You are in the number one place to be for the Impact Wrestling fan. This is the Cool Factor Podcast. I'm your host, TW. And of course, we got the man with the plan, BQ. Say what's up to the people.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is our first Cool Factor Podcast in a little while. And this is the part of the show where I start talking about our schedules and how we just can't link up and how impossible it is. And it's like a real broken record, you know. And what I had said previously was that when TW wasn't available, I was gonna, you know, knock out a solo review on it on Saturdays or whatever, except my military weekends. Because just to clue you guys in, I actually don't watch the episode at all on that week, just because I can't get around to it because I work 12 days in a row. So yeah, I'm gonna do my best to knock out some of these solo reviews like when TW's not available, but don't be surprised if this podcast starts getting kind of bi-weekly. You know what I mean? We are trying to figure this out. We've been trying to figure this out for months. How can we really link up and be consistent? But it's
it's a real struggle. Just like BQ said, we love doing the pod. We love interacting with you guys. We love bringing you the content. But you know, like sometimes our schedules just don't line up. You know what I mean? Sometimes our schedules don't line up. You know, I work in television and football season is like bananas for me. So I'm just less available during certain months. So it is what it is. Life happens, okay. but still, like, please drop your comments, you know, underneath. You know, we're gonna review the comments. We're still gonna interact on the Impact Lounge Facebook page. We're gonna, you know, tweet me, I tweet back, tweet BQ, we tweet back, and but Before we get started, please just take a second and hit that subscribe button so you're subscribed to the channel. Hit that like button so everybody knows you like this video, and hit that notification bell so that you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new fire content on this page. We are recording this on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, and BQ, are you excited for Turkey Day coming up?
I used to be more excited when all I had to do was eat, but now over the past like 3 years, I'm responsible for the entire meal. So it's not as exciting, but you know.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Well, while I'm down here podcasting, I can hear my wife upstairs getting the house ready. So we better, you know, get this pod done so I can get back to work.
I gotcha.
We're hosting Thanksgiving this year. So we got family coming from out of town. A lot of my family lives closer. A lot of her family lives farther away. And, you know, but it's good. It's fun to host. It's great to be able to host, you know, and it's good to get family together and, you know, Thanksgiving. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, but we're about to get into an overdrive review, but in the spirit of Thanksgiving, BQ, I'm going to say something and you're going to say something. Let's give one thing as a wrestling fan that we're thankful for. So I'm just springing this on you. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. I'll go first. All right.
Okay.
So as a wrestling fan, one thing I am thankful for is I'm thankful for all the variety of wrestling that's out there. There's, you know, WWE is obviously, you know, it's the top dog, you know what I mean? Like, whether you like their product the most or not, like, they got the, you know, the best production, you know, probably the best roster, you know, the most history, you know, so I'm grateful that there's WWE, and then AEW serves a purpose, Impact serves a purpose, you know, Wild Women of Wrestling serves a purpose, everything. So right now, there's a lot of wrestling available to be watched. And as a wrestling fan, I am grateful that there is a ton of wrestling to be watched. So as a wrestling fan right now, your cup runneth over. So that's what I'm grateful for as a wrestling fan right now.
You know, I'm grateful that wrestling just hasn't gone anywhere. You know, like when I was growing up and I was young, you know, once they start getting into the mainstream, there a lot of people are like, yo, this isn't going to last. Like, this is, you know, a fad. This is just because it was just WWE. Yeah, there was the territories and, you know, there were some of these other companies. But from a mainstream standpoint, there was just one company. And, you know, a lot of people are like, this is just this is going to go away. Kind of like hip hop, you know, like after a few years, like, okay, this is going to phase out.
Right. Right.
And it just still here, you know, and it just continues to evolve every year. And we just see such, you know,
yeah,
so that's what's really exciting about it, you know, but that's what I'm, you know,
grateful for. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's dope.
That is the thing. It's a part of my life.
Maybe later in the show, we'll read some of your comments. If you guys want to drop your wrestling thankfulness in the chat, you know what I mean? If you want to drop some things that you're thankful for as a wrestling fan, maybe we can get to that a little bit later. But we're going to dive into a Impact Overdrive review. So leading up to Overdrive, it's been a couple of weeks since we gotten a pod done. How are you feeling overall about, you know, where the stories are with Impact, where the stars are with Impact leading up into Overdrive? Like, how are you feeling about the product overall right now leading into this show?
I'm on one of my downswings right now. Like, it's always a roller coaster with me, especially after a big pay-per-view comes out. I tend to get, usually after Bound for Glory, after Slammiversary, I tend to get like really excited because they kind of, it's almost like a, you know, they freshen things up. It's almost like a bit of a restart. But it is a roller coaster. So like I have my highs and then I have my lows where I'm just like extremely bored with what's going on. So like for me, it's not that the product is bad right now. I don't think it is. I'm just, you know, the thing I've been talking about the last several months, it's like becoming just a wrestling show, just two people wrestling, you know, and like storyline wise, it's just not grabbing me. And it hasn't for several months now. The Bully Ray stuff, you know, I started coming around on it after a couple of weeks and, you know, now I'm interested in it. But at the same time, like Impact has a crutch, and the crutch is when you need some drama and a storyline, like bring the wife in, you know. It's like how many times you insert Alicia Edwards, insert right. Melissa Santos, you know, Taya Valkyrie at one point briefly. Yeah. You know, and now it's what's his name, wife's name, Jade.
Yep.
You know, this is the second time they've had a user. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a crutch, but it works, you know. It's not like, oh, here we go again with the wife thing, but it works. But
yeah,
it right now it's kind of like a one storyline show. And
yeah,
you know, I've been saying like they're doing too much with Josh too quickly. Like, why is he feuding with Frankie? And then you got feuding with Bubba, and then you got Macklin there, and you got Bobby Fish just coming in. And I was like, they're doing too much. But I guess I'm seeing now how it's all like coming together a little bit. It's not as messy as I thought it was, you know?
Yeah.
I see how it's coming together, but right now it's like they're kind of putting all their eggs in that like basket of the main event.
Yeah.
And then it's just a bunch of wrestling that I don't care who wins, you know? So.
Yeah. I think I would kind of agree with that. I think that, I think if you look into it, there are some good stories going on. I think that like, you know, the Mickey James last rodeo story is a good one. When it comes to Trey Miguel, oh, sorry, we'll go back to this, but there is some fun stuff going on with different stuff in the show. I think overall right now we're in the Josh Alexander era, and because he's such a good, phenomenal wrestler and he really can put on a program with anybody, like he's a guy who he can be your traditional babyface and kind of make a program out of nothing because he's an underrated good promo. He's a really good promo and he can wrestle, you know, just ridiculous bangers. So like, you know, he's a top guy for sure, 100%. But I still think from a production standpoint, they need to do more to make the stories feel spicy. Like we'll get to, you know, what happened at the end of the show. But as this angle was going on, I'm sitting there watching it and I'm thinking to myself, man, like this crowd should be losing their mind right now. And I'm just like, oh man. So that is one thing about Impact that just kind of, you know, just kind of needles me a little bit. It's like, I just want to see the product feel a little more alive. And I can't remember if it was you I was talking to or somebody else who mentioned it the other day. But someone said that they think that maybe with the product minus Don Callis, maybe the thing he was bringing to the table was the edgier stories, the edgier characters. And I thought about that and I was like, man, that actually makes sense. Because
that was in the Facebook group we were talking. Yeah.
We got a ton of great wrestling, right? A ton of great wrestling. And you know, the matches and feuds put together are nice. They flow good. But remember when they were doing stuff just to catch your eye, like when, you know, Ace Austin was like trying to do people's moms and you know what I mean? Like doing like different little fun stuff. And I think about that, like as a TV show, right? You should, like, people used to always say, you know, they weren't a wrestling fan back in the day, but they were flipping channels and they saw DX or they saw Stone Cold and it caught their eye. They saw the NWO or they saw the cruiserweights and it just caught their eye. And I think that's the thing Impact needs. They need characters that resonate, that will catch anybody's eye, right? And be like, you know what? I'm not even interested in Impact or wrestling or whatever, but I want to see what this person's going to do. You know what I mean? Like, they yeah. need more stuff that jumps off the screen like that. And I think that'll make the product just feel a little more, just a little more lively. But like, you know, you can't deny that, like, you know, it's the booking is solid. The stories are solid. The wrestling is solid. They just need that thing that's going to pop, that's going to get people like on their feet chanting and emotional and all of those moments that we love so much as wrestling fans. All right.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we'll get into this, but that's why I talk about things like, you know, I've said this before on podcasts, but it stood out to me at Overdrive that, you know, Penzer announces every wrestler exactly the same. If they're a jobber, if they're a champion, if it's the main event, if it's a heel, it's a babyface, they're all announced the exact same way. And it's like everyone's entrance is almost the same. I mean, it's not almost the same. I don't know how to explain it. Like, not too many of the entrances stand out. And I say that because I guess maybe I was watching AEW or Women of Wrestling or something, but I just noticed like a lot of the entrances just it's a part of the wrestler's brand, and the way they're announced is part of the brand. You know, like, he has a Spanish God. Sammy, go far, you know, like
right.
Now you think, okay, Spanish God, and then merch starts coming out, and like it's all part of the brand of a wrestler to do those little things. They you know, their entrances stand out. The way you announce them when they come out stands out. But it's like I don't know, that everything feels so just the same, and I can't like totally pinpoint it. But yeah, we were talking about in the Facebook group that when Don Callis was around, even though I think Scott has been more beneficial overall when you're talking about the two of them. But when Don was around, I think he had an eye for bringing in some talent that really broke up like the monotony of the show. And right now it just feels like whoever they bring in, the show feels exactly the fucking same. Like there's just nothing like popping out.
Yeah.
And I can't totally like pinpoint why that is, but that's just how I feel. Nothing standing out.
Yeah.
You know, to as you said, someone flipping through like, yo, this, you know, this catches my eye.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into, without further ado, let's get into the review of Impact's most recent event, Overdrive. All right. So if anybody wants to follow along, I'm going to write down the results listed on impactwrestling.com, and we're just going to read through the results, and then me and BQ will react to exactly what happened. It looks like BQ has some vomit on his shirt right there. I can't really.
So he's asking what is it? It says Los Angeles. It's the LA Clippers alternate jersey, the city edition jersey.
I'm a Lakers fan, so the Clipper hate will reign forever. Even though the Lakers are straight up doo-doo butter. Okay. Ooh. But we're not gonna talk about that. We're here to talk about Impact Wrestling. Let's see here. So we started with let's see, the Countdown Overdrive, Rich Swann and all these guys. Rich Swann defeated all these guys in a six-way X Division match full of action. Rich Swann gets the W. Rich Swann should be getting plenty of W's. Let's see. Then they also had the
NJPW. I gotta say, I got to say about this real quick. Oh. I was listening to, I don't know what podcast I was listening to the other day, but they were talking like the biggest challenge that a company, not the biggest challenge, but one of the biggest challenges, this is someone in the industry saying this, that the that a company can face is when the title comes off someone, how do you make them remain relevant? You know?
Right.
So it's not an easy thing to do. Like we've seen it.
I don't know, man. See, I don't know about that. Like, look, here's an example.
You know where I'm going with it. Rich Swann's on the pre-show.
Right. But like, look at John Moxley in AEW, right? Like, you know, you really wouldn't even know that he's not the champion because he never loses. You know what I mean? He's got a big time interest. They put him in big time spots. You know, like you can keep somebody hot with or without the belt, man. You know, I always say this, like one of the things I learned from watching John Cena throughout his run. And now that, you know, we're way past it, you know, we can talk about it, you know, like, honestly, like, it was a phenomenal run. Like, regardless of what you thought about the product, like, John Cena's run was an all-timer. You know what I mean? And the thing I learned from watching John Cena during that time is that you don't have to have the belt to be the main attraction. You know what I mean? Like, there was times when CM Punk was the champion. John Cena was still the main event. You know what I mean? This guy will be the champion. That guy will be the champion. But it was still all about Cena. And, like, again, that goes to the booking, but that also goes to the quality of the star. You know what I mean? So you can still make a guy feel like a big star without him having the title. You know what I mean? So like the Impact does this thing where once somebody doesn't have the title, they just start like rotating them into losing. And I'm just
right,
like,
right.
That's a booking thing. You know what I mean? That's not like a, you know, that's not like a, this guy lost his steam. It's just, you know, you're booking him to lose now. Why would you do this?
Yeah, and like the comment here, Rich Swann isn't that interesting of a gimmick. When Rich Swann lost the belt, I was saying back then, yo, what I would do is keep him off TV for several months, almost like he's depressed because he let the company down. Mm. And you can like kind of reboot him. But instead he was off TV, but then he just came back dancing and then he lost to Morrissey immediately, and it was like, you know, but now here he is.
I thought that when after Rich Swann lost the belt to Kenny Omega, and then he had the feud with Morrissey, I thought Swann should have went over Morrissey. And the reason why is it doesn't hurt the heel to lose, especially not the big monster heel, especially not to somebody who just finished being the world champion. And the thing is, like, you got Rich Swann, and he's a guy who you're probably going to have for a while, right? Like, he's not going anywhere else. Why not have him keep winning? So he's established as a top guy, and anytime he comes out, fans should be excited and get behind him. But they didn't do that. You know, like, so to me, I was like, you know, you have Rich Swann. He just had the title. He's a made guy. But, you know, they didn't choose to keep him at that level, and I think that was just a huge mistake. Because Impact, yeah, you know, Impact doesn't have but so many stars. Do they have, you know, other than Josh Alexander at this time, like, who are the guys that really, like, are, like, the showstopper stars? Like, there's not one, you know, there's not one, you know. Moose has still been kept at a pretty high level, but like, there's not a lot of guys that it's just like, I have to see what this guy is doing, you know?
Right. So, I think like, if you think of a sports franchise, ideally what a team wants to do is like, they have their rotation players and then they're drafting younger players that they're going to develop to eventually take over these guys' spots. And that's where like, it's not happening. It's they're bringing in some younger dudes, but then it's like, you know, the Rohits, the Jakes, the contract runs out and they don't want to, like a rookie, if they, in the league, they outperform their contract, that next contract is substantially bigger, you know. And it just like, they're not getting to that level. They bring in these guys, they're outperforming their deal, and then it's like, okay, we just want to keep you at that same deal. They don't want that deal, and then they leave, and then just have to keep replacing people at the bottom, but they're not elevating up to the top. Like, Ace Austin should have done been in this main event scene by now. Chris Bay should have done been in this main event scene by now. Like, there's a couple dudes. Trey Miguel should have long time ago been a fixture in the main event scene. Now he's going to do the heel thing. So I think that's interesting.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're about to talk about. So,
all right. So then there was also a match on the pre-show, the Motor City Machine Guns versus Ace Austin and Chris Bay in a World Tag Team Title Number One Contenders match. Of course, you know, this was an action-filled match. The Guns hit a magic killer, but Bay kicked out at two. Bay hit Shelly with a... Bay sends Shelly crashed into his own partner. Austin follows up with a springboard kick. Bay soars over the top rope, colliding with both the Guns on the floor. Saban counters the Art of Finesse into a German suplex. Saban stacks up Bay to score the victory. So, Motor City Machine Guns are the new number one contenders for the World Tag Team titles. What was your thoughts on this right here?
I mean, I saw it coming. They've been laying that groundwork for a little while that the Machine Guns were going to eventually challenge for the belts. So I just can't believe they haven't been the champions over the past like 3 years that they've been here. It's crazy,
right?
That they haven't at all. And it just seems like, you know, the mainstays who they know are going to stay around, like they just don't put belts on them.
Yeah.
It's the people who are like coming in for a few months, like, hey, you know, here's a championship. So hopefully they do put the belts on them. Cause Heath and Rhino, like we'll get to that match, but I was actually really disappointed that they won. So
yeah.
But yeah, this was, you know, obvious. I feel like we've seen these teams fight 1,000 times though. Maybe they haven't, but
yeah.
You know, yeah. I had a hard time getting into it. I got to ask you this with these monthly specials. Do you think that I don't want them to put a card together that no one cares about? Don't get me wrong. But I think like you don't have to defend every single freaking title on these cards, you know?
I think they can main event
the X Division, or they can main event with a number one contenders match. Like, they're throwing everything on these things. They don't even promote how to be an insider on the damn show. But then these actual shows, they're just putting a pay-per-view, like, quality show together.
It is so weird that they don't promote how to be an... You know why? Because they're still torn between their Impact Insider and the Impact Plus app. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't want to, like, when they first started doing the Impact Insider, you were like, well, it looks like they've punted on the Impact Plus app. Well, then they apparently got the green light to have access to their Spike TV years of the Impact Wrestling show. And the only place for that to live is on the Impact Plus app. So they couldn't just abandon the Impact Plus app. So they had to, you know, so like, I mean, but, and also I think for some reason, maybe they don't want to offend their TV partners by promoting that you can watch the show on YouTube. But to me, that's stupid, man. Like, to hell with that. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think, like, again, you know, say what you want to about Vince McMahon, right? But he had the cojones to cannibalize his own pay-per-view business for the good of the Impact Plus app. You know, I'm sorry, of the WWE app. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, like, and listen, I wasn't going to be shelling out $65 a month for a WWE pay-per-view. I was going to do that maybe twice a year for the Royal Rumble and for WrestleMania. But I was not going to be, you know, paying month after month after month. But there's a lot of people who were. There's a lot of people who were. And he sacrificed that in order to give everybody, you know, for the $10 a month, get everybody over to the WWE app, right? And like, so if you're Impact, right, like at some point, you got to say that it's worth the money you're going to get from the subscribers, whatever you're sacrificing. You know what I mean? Because if you're getting more subscribers to your YouTube thing, then that's going to give you the visibility and the reach to go out and market yourself for a bigger TV deal. No?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So to me, like, they should be promoting the Impact, you know, the Impact Plus app and the Impact Insider. Like, they should be promoting those things so hard. And you're right. We never see promotion for those things. But we're not going to, you know, get into this because the Impact's, you know, promotional flaws is a rabbit hole we have been down many, 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 many times. So We're gonna hop over that rabbit hole today. Where are we going? Oh, you asked me what do I think about the monthly shows. I like them, and I'm gonna tell you the reason why I like them is because when they're live, it sounds better, it looks better, and you can hear the crowd more. You know what I'm saying? And I think the talent is more active because it's a live show.
This wasn't, you know, live.
At any given point, if you were to ask me for a recommendation of things to make Impact better on a weekly basis, one of the number one things I'd say is they need to go live more. You know what I mean? They need to go live more because the show feels like a more lively product when they are live. So yeah, I think going live as much as possible is a good thing for Impact. Do they have to put everything on the show, every title? Maybe not, but it should be some match with stakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. But so, I just feel like you can build a show around the X Division Championship headlining it. And
I agree.
You know, like it gives you it lets it breathe. So Josh is not wrestling every single person on the company, but this wasn't a live show. This was done a couple days prior.
Oh, was it? I thought it was live.
No, I always assumed they were, but I know someone messaged me and said he was at the show while I was watching it. So I thought this particular show sounded like, and maybe it's because I have a trained ear, sounded like shit. Like,
yeah,
you're supposed to, your file should be an MP4, and they are not exporting to MP4. And when it's not, I don't know how to explain the sound. It's almost like you can hear a very low, like if you had just crushed up metal and you were just like rubbing it together, like that's, it has that sound to it. Man, it's so hard to explain. But
I think the phrase you're looking for is dog poop.
Yeah, they're not being exported high quality files. They're low quality to save space, and it's you can't always tell watching, but listening, it was real, yeah, real bad. It sounded really, really bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm pro more live shows, and just because I think the product comes off better when they go live. But yeah, but that doesn't mean, you know, you still got to give us a good show. All right. So Overdrive on the air, and the first match is Moose versus Bully Ray in a tables match. The first person to put their opponent through the table will be declared the winner in this personal showdown. Bully turns his back and Moose immediately delivers a low blow. Moose connects with a spear moments into the match. Moose takes some time to set up a table in the corner, allowing Bully to hit the spear of his own. Bully hits a vertical suplex on the floor. Bully returns the favor from an earlier and goes low. Low, low, low. Moose hits him in the back with a steel chair, but Bully counters the follow-up with a urinage into a German suplex. Moose shuts down the momentum with a pump kick. Bully is perched on the top and sends Moose crashing to the mat with a thunderous power bomb. Moose counters the Bully bomb, but Bully catches him midair with a cutter instead. Bully charges into the corner, but Moose sidesteps, causing him to put himself through a table. The match doesn't end, however, because it was not Moose who drove him through a table. Bully spears Moose through a table in the corner to win. So Moose defeats Bully Ray in the tables match. What did you think about this?
It was okay. You know, usually I kick these reviews off saying these monthly specials really, really deliver. They're always really good. This one really didn't do it for me. I thought the last three matches really saved it. The matches previous to it, I didn't even care who won. Like I was just wasn't invested in it. And this was one I wasn't like particularly invested in because I don't like tables matches. It's hard to make them good because it's like they're laid out very similar. If you really want to put someone through a table, you can put them through a table. Like just pick them up and slam them through the table. You slam them to the mat. It's the same thing. So I'm not like a huge fan of them, but I would say this probably exceeded my expectations of what I thought it was going to be. I thought they had a couple really cool moments here. So I understand now that they needed Moose to have this little mini feud with him to take you off the scent of what he was going to do with Josh. Like I totally get it, but it's just weird they were like. Moose is another guy. It's like they don't know what to do with them. Like, he just gets these little, like, meaningless feuds, you know. I wish he was the champion forever. Like, I wish this motherfucker just had the belt and just didn't lose it. Like, I love his title reign. And it's like, he dropped it. And it's like, what the hell are they doing with him now? Like, what's next for him? So, I don't know. But this was okay. It exceeded my expectations, but I don't really like tables matches.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they definitely could have done something where they had Moose and Josh going back and forth for the title for a long time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to have those guys, you know, repeatedly feuding. I mean, listen, Stone Cold and The Rock headlined 3 straight WrestleManias against each other. Like,
did they really?
They did. They did. So, like, oh, wow. It's not, you know, if you got a good thing, you know, milk it, make it work. All right. So, let's see. Up next, we had the Knockouts World Tag Team Champions, the Death Dolls, Taya Valkyrie and Jessica, with Rosemary versus Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans for the Knockouts World Tag Team Championship. I'm going to skip a lot of this description here. We kind of know what happened here. Jessica hit a double running crossbody to both of her opponents. Jessica counters the cutter from Steelz into an assisted sick driver. 4-3, the Death Dolls defeat Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. Did you have any thoughts on this one?
There was a cutter in every single. We're now like four or five matches through this. There was a cutter in every single match, dude. As you've read these, you're just like, cutter. This is such a fucking go. I hate that move, man.
You know what it used to be a few years ago? It used to be the double stomp. Everybody was doing the double stomp. Oh
yeah.
Sometimes moves just get overdone. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Swan won with a cutter. I'm sure there was a cutter. I know I'm pretty sure Chris Bay hit a cutter or some shit like that. And then I forgot who you said did it here. And then the match, it's such a go-to move, man. I hate it.
Yeah.
This match didn't need to be on this. You know, like, I thought that there's not enough tag teams for, again, you don't have to put every title on the line at every single show. Like, this, who the hell are they going to fight next? I mean, I'm sure they have an idea who they're going to bring in to fight the Death Dolls, you know, but I just feel like you're defending these titles like way too much. And then you get rid of your opponent and then who's next? Like, that's a division they could actually probably drag out the stories a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, but I do like the Death Dolls entrance and theme song and all that, you know. Like, as I've said, I'm not a huge fan of like comedy Rosemary, but
yeah,
you know, I kind of like what they're doing overall, but
yeah,
I don't know, it was okay. I didn't think it needed to be on the show.
Yeah. All right, up next we got Mickie James versus Taylor Wilde, and obviously with the last rodeo, if Mickie loses, her career is over. Let's see. Mickie James, the last rodeo continues as she battles Taylor Wilde in a first time ever dream match. A dream match, a main event anywhere in the world. Remember, that was Josh's thing for a long time.
Challenge, main event anywhere.
So both Knockouts jockey for position in the opening minutes of the match. James gains a true advantage with a leg scissors out of the corner, followed by a Hurricane Rana. James sends her rolling through the ropes to the floor. Fight spills into the outside, where Wilde drives her into the side of the apron. Wilde hits a snap vertical suplex for 2. James whips her into the corner, but Wilde sidesteps and regains control with a backbreaker. James and Wilde exchange strikes as Wilde gains the upper hand with a target shot to the lower back. James builds momentum with a neckbreaker, but Wilde avoids the McDT. Wilde hits the Wilde run for a very close near fall. Wilde immediately locks in the camel clutch. I was going to make a joke there, but James escapes. James hits the McDT to win. Mickie James defeats Taylor Wilde, and her last rodeo continues. What'd you think about this match here?
You know, this is a decent storyline overall. Because if anything, we're just getting good Mickie James matches. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's going to end with something having to do with the Knockouts Championship. I wish that they would have just left that part out of it and just let her wrestle. And then if she got to that point, cool, but whatever. I know it sounds like I'm being super negative today. I didn't think this match was very good.
Yeah.
I was really, really looking forward to it. I don't know that there's any two women on the planet that have such similar builds in stature than these two women. Like, they look exactly like each other. They're the same height. I mean, the same body type, same implants, like everything, you know? Like, they look, I was like, they're so evenly matched physically that this is going to be really, really good. And I watched this match twice. There is not a smooth 30 seconds in a row in this match.
Oh, wow.
There really isn't.
Yeah.
This was just, I thought, someone said in the comments when we first started the show, like, oh, that show, that match was awesome. Like, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm not going to say you guys aren't allowed to enjoy it. I didn't think it was very good. I was really, really disappointed because I thought it was going to be really killer. Like I said, they're built exactly the same. Like, there's just mm-hmm. no, I just thought it was just going to flow. So at one point they did like that double drop kick spot, you know, when they're thinking the same thing. Right, they were nowhere near each other. I mean, it was damn near like post to post. Like
they both would have missed the drop kick badly if the other one was standing there.
If the other one was standing there, they would have dropped, been like 5 feet short.
Right.
But I just very disappointed with this one. Obviously, so I can't wrestle, so I'm not be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to go out there and show them how it's done by any stretch.
Right.
I didn't think it was good.
Yeah. So after the match, Mickey is confronted by her longtime rival, Deonna Purrazzo, who calls her a selfish B-word. Purrazzo says she's not only looking to end James's career, she's looking to end it.
I thought this was good, though. She just came out, you selfish bitch. Like,
yeah. You know, that was a funny typo right here. It says she's not only looking to end James's career, she's looking to end it. Did you see that clip of Herschel Walker where he says this erection is about the people?
No. Oh, God.
Yo, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Like, he's sitting there talking. I think he's sitting between Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham, and they're talking about something. He's like, yeah, this election is gonna be won, blah 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 blah. And he's like, this erection is about the people. And Lindsey Graham caught it right away because he looks at him and goes, and he plays it right off. I was like,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear that. It's funny.
Oh man, but yes, I'm here for more Deonna and Mickey. I'm curious where this is going to go, because, you know, again, the last rodeo, I can't definitively say how I think this is going to end. You know what I mean?
I can't either. Yeah.
Is this going to, you know, is going to be one more run with the title for Mickey, or is Deonna going to end it, or is she going to make it all the way to Jordan and Jordan's going to end it? You know what I mean? Like, you know, as an honorable wrestler, you know, you want to go out on your shield, you know? You do the honors and you leave town, unless you're Bret Hart, and you you know, you do what you got to do. So I'm interested to see how this ends. It's a great storyline, and as many more promos as we can get with Mickey James, with a sport coat just taped to her body. I am here for all of that.
I mean, if I had to bet money, I think it's going to be a very like cookie cutter story when it's all said and done. If I was a betting man, which I am,
I will say this, uh-huh. When it comes to Mickey and Deonna, they have a rivalry established that's good enough. And I think this is where, if you work in production for Impact Wrestling, you should be begging for the opportunity to put together the video packages to promote this Mickey and Deonna story, because this is a cash money storyline. I thought this was one of the best feuds in wrestling last year. You know, people don't want to talk about it because people still like to pretend like they don't watch Impact Wrestling. But like, you know, Mickey James and Deonna Purrazzo had one of the absolute best feuds in all of wrestling last year. It was so good. And yeah, I mean, like, to take a break away from it and then circle back to it, like, that's just damn good booking. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just damn good booking. And where you can hit the ground where it still feels personal and it still feels like, you know, now they both got something on the line because Mickey beat Deanna's friend and sent her packing. You know, and Deanna has a chance to send Mickey packing, and Deanna's evil. You know, boo Deanna Purrazzo. I say this all the time. If you guys follow me on Twitter at Talking About Pod, boo Deanna Purrazzo. She's a disgusting, vile heel, and she deserves to be booed at any chance she gets. If anybody wants to circulate this clip, Deanna, boo you. Boo Deanna Purrazzo. Boo. All you nerds out there chanting virtuosa when she comes out, okay? Y'all are horrible. Y'all are ruining wrestling, okay? Deanna Purrazzo is evil. Boo her. Boo her. All right? Get me off my topic. All right. Moving right along here. We had the Impact World Tag Team Championship as Heath and Rhino take on the major players, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. Let's see. At the end, Heath makes the tag to Rhino, who joins the fray with a burst of speed. Myers hits Rhino with the flatliner for two. The major players hit a double DDT on Rhino, but Heath breaks the pin at two. The guns stop Cardona from introducing the steel chair into the match. Rhino gores Myers to score the victory. So Heath and Rhino defeat the major players to retain their tag team championship. What did you think about this?
Again, I know I'm sounding like negative. I already said it. This is a three match show for me. I just didn't find this real entertaining either. I wanted to see the major players win. Honestly, I just don't understand. Like, they can be one of the most entertaining parts of the show, and it's like both of them were digital media champions, did nothing for the belt. You know, did nothing special with it. Why not put the damn tag team belts on? What is like the benefit of Heath and Rhino being the champions? Other than you promised them they would win the titles like a year ago, but then Rhino got hurt, so you had to, you know, come back around to it in a very unnatural manner. I just wanted to see major players win. I was really disappointed that they didn't, but I don't know. It was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Now we're getting the stuff that I was really liking here. We got Black Taurus versus Crazy Steve versus Trey Miguel in an X Division tournament final. Okay, X Division title tournament final. And so the tournament crown a new X Division champion came down to this as Black Taurus and Trey Miguel face off in the finals. It's a stalemate in the early going as both competitors in the match, they match each other's offense move for move. Taurus hits a series of sling blades followed by a backbreaker. Taurus quickly climbs the ropes to deliver a flying headbutt to Miguel. Taurus locks in a modified cloverleaf, but Miguel makes it to the ropes in order to break the hold. Taurus connects on a pop-up Samoan drop for two. Miguel hits the running double knees in the corner followed by the running Meteora for a near fall of his own. Both men exchange stiff strikes in the middle of the ring, followed by stereo headbutts. Miguel fights off the destination hellhole. That sounds awful. Then hits an enziguri for another near fall. Taurus hurls him off the top rope, but it's not enough to keep Miguel down. Miguel dives over the top rope and hits a Hurricane Rana on the floor. Back in the ring, Miguel connects with the Meteora for yet another near fall. Taurus sends him back first into the steel ring post. Miguel blinds Taurus with spray paint, then hits the lightning spiral to win. So Trey Miguel turns heel and defeats Black Taurus with Crazy Steve in the X Division tournament finals. Trey Miguel is the new X Division champion. What did you think about this?
Now, this was good. This was really, really good. And I'm super intrigued because I think you had to do something different with Trey because you don't want to put him in the main event scene for whatever reason. So we're going to see if he can pull off the heel thing. But I really enjoy this, and I have to give him props because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were saying, yo, Decay don't beat anybody. And they actually put Taurus on a little bit of a hot streak. you know, over the last couple of months. Like he's been winning matches. You know, I thought PJ Black was going to be in the finals here. I really did, just because why the hell they even bring him in? So this wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but this was really good. Taurus is excellent. The fans really got behind him. They need to get him and Crazy Steve, whatever that looks like. If it's Taurus wrestling by himself and Steve just kind of talking for him, they got to take those guys to the next level. They got to build on what was organic, and organically the crowd really got behind Black Taurus. So that's something that Impact is really, really missing compared to like an AEW that Tony listens. Okay, the fans want this. We're going to, you know, like the Jamie Hayter thing, for instance, you know what I mean? Like they pulled the plug. That's the exact opposite. They pulled the trigger on Jamie Hayter because the fan, it just organically got there. The fans really, really wanted to see it. And there's been times where the fans are telling Impact, hey, we want to see this. And they just completely overlook it. So, you know, like, especially, you know, Jake Something's one that I really point out a lot when it comes to that. Like, they were really getting behind him wrestling, and it was just like they just couldn't get him to that next level. So hopefully they do that with Taurus instead of just like feeding him to Trey Miguel, just for the simple fact that they needed him to turn heel, and then they're going to completely forget about him. Hopefully they don't do that. But I'm very interested to see this side of Trey Miguel. And this was just a good match. It was a fun match. I'm glad they didn't do the Impact thing and just put the title right back on Mike Bailey. That's what I thought. I really thought that was going to happen. I was like, this tournament is strictly to put the belt back off him because you took it off him for Frankie. Now you got to put it back on him.
Yeah.
But I like the Kenny King thing that Bailey's doing right now. I'm very happy that they got like a storyline going. Yeah. Boom. So.
Now well, you're talking, I have like a feeling that they're eventually coming back to Trey Miguel versus Mike Bailey. I feel like they're 100% coming back to, you know, both of them. But this time with Trey as the heel, this is like, think of like Roman versus Brock Lesnar, but, you know, minus 300 pounds. So however many times we can do the match, you know, let's do the match. All right. I'm actually getting a little short on time, so we gotta move along here. We have the Knockouts World Championship match, Jordynne Grace versus Masha Slamovich. Jordynne Grace defeated Masha Slamovich in the last Knockout Standing match. What did you think about this?
This, again, also really, really good. I was just surprised. It's weird to have Masha had just lose twice in a row. I don't know what the point was of this ultimately. It's weird. I would imagine she's going to move on to something with Killer Kelly, which I think is a mistake at this point, just because neither of them need a loss. Masha definitely doesn't need a loss. Kelly, you know, really doesn't need one either. We don't even see her that much. But Jordynne and Moose are the two people on this show that look like freaking stars every time they go out there. Physically, the way they wrestle, the way they carry themselves. So this was really good. I just don't know why it was necessary with Masha. But, you know.
Yeah, I thought they got into this kind of quick. Like when Masha came out at the end of that episode of Impact and attacked Jordynne, I was actually looking forward to seeing them get back together because, you know, this was one of the matches heading into Bound for Glory that people were more excited about. People were very excited about Masha versus Jordynne as far as like, you know, things people were looking forward to at that show. And, you know, I thought the match delivered. I thought it did a good job. I thought it shined, you know, a better light on Masha Slamovich. So to come right back to the rematch right now, I thought that was kind of a waste. They could have done something else with Masha and leading to her having another rematch with Jordynne in a few months at another show. They got the show coming up in January. They could have built to that, you know, in Atlanta. So, yeah, that felt like a little bit of a rush to me. I thought they could have stretched a little more out of that. And then, like you said, you know, where do each of them go from here? So that's always interesting. All right. Main event time. We had the Impact World Champion, Josh Alexander, versus Frankie Kazarian. They had a 40-minute match, and Josh Alexander defeated Frankie Kazarian to retain the Impact World Championship. And the story here, though, was after the match. After the match, Alexander and Kazarian shake hands in a tremendous show of respect. Then Bully Ray confronts Alexander and praises him for his performance tonight. Bully calls Alexander the most incredible world champion in all of professional wrestling. Bully gets down to business and calls his shot for an Impact World title match on Friday, January 13th at Hard to Kill. Out of nowhere, Bully attacks Alexander at ringside with a steel chair. Bully zip ties him to the bottom rope and continues the assault. Bully grabs Alexander's wife and tosses her over the guardrail. Bully threatens to powerbomb her onto the concrete until Alexander hands him the Impact World title. Bully stands tall with the Impact title held high before exiting the Impact Zone. Overdrive goes off the air. Now, let me say this. They're in an era where Josh Alexander is the dominant champion, right? He's having a run of dominance that, you know, I'm not going to say it rivals Roman Reigns's, but like he's been putting out some banger ass matches and like he's clearly their guy and they're running with him. And I think that's great. You know what I mean? It's good to have like a signature talent. We have not once seen Alexander, you know, like manhandled this way, like even against Moose, you know what I mean? Even against Moose, mm-hmm. he wasn't like, you know, manhandled this way. And so, you know, Bully Ray is really good at, you know, like selling the evil guy that he is, the evil of his character that comes through. But just watching this segment, man, one thing that just stuck with me was how I could hear nobody reacting to it. And it was just, it was killing me because I was like, this is great stuff that you guys are doing right here, but people are not reacting. And that's one thing I think Impact has to find a way to breathe some life into the show, get a younger audience in there that wants to react, wants to stand up, wants to clap, still has the energy at the end of a 3-hour show to give you that kind of reaction for that kind of angle. They gotta find a way to euthanize this audience.
Euthanize. It's being euthanized.
That's a little Herschel Walkerism.
Yeah. When they the few times that they panned to the crowd, and I guess there was a pretty large crowd here. You would never know it. Number one, because as I said earlier, the video was such low quality that it drowned out a lot of the crowd, but it's just right. Like the camera didn't show much. And when it did, it really showed a like older audience. You know, I was actually quite shocked. So yeah, they do got to find a way to, how do we appeal to a younger fan base? And that's why I'm always like, yo, you're bringing in the Dreamers and the Rhinos and the RVDs. Like, you're not appealing to the modern day wrestling fan. You're trying to bring people back who left a long time ago. Yes. That's kind of been what the strategy is, and I just don't think that's the way to go.
So listen, I have to tap out. But BQ, why don't you stay here for the people and answer some questions, answer some comments that are in the chat. Does that sound good?
I can do that. I can
for the homies. That. All right, listen, everybody. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Drop your comments down, you know, below. Drop your comments in the chat. Follow me on Twitter at TW Talking About. Follow BQ. Tweet me. I tweet back. Let's keep this conversation going. And you know, I'll talk to you guys soon. For BQ, I'm TW. BQ is gonna stay here, but I am saying peace.
Peace. All right, so yeah, I'll stick around here a little bit, knock out some of these questions here. I don't know exactly what you're asking here. We would like to see talent sign larger deals, and clearly they're very comfortable with their business method right now, or their business model, I should say, about bringing in what they consider to be bigger names on short-term deals. The problem is it's really hard to connect to the product when they do that. I mean, think of the last Impact Plus show where everyone was so excited that Bobby Fish showed up. Dude came in and wrestled two matches and bounced, you know? Like, what was the point of even bringing him in as a surprise, you know? So it's like now you see people on the show and it's hard to get excited because your initial assumption is that they're not going to be around for very long. Let's see what do we got here. Sorry for the silence. Man, there was something I was going to... Here we go. This was the one I was looking for. Why is Josh beating records that Impact homegrown talents and legends have? He shouldn't be doing that. That's embarrassing. I don't know if I agree with that. Because Josh kind of is a homegrown talent. We don't want Bobby Roode and AJ Styles and dudes to keep these records forever, because these aren't guys who have anything to do with the company anymore. You can get away with that with WWE, because once WWE, you're always WWE. You're like part of that family. You know, like these guys can keep these records, but like with Impact being such a transitional company now, when I say transitional, I mean, the talent is not around for very long. You know, it kind of operates like an indie company. I think the guys who are sticking around, like Josh Alexander, like I think he should be erasing those titles personally. How would I book Alicia Edwards in Impact Wrestling? You would think, as much as I love Alicia, that I would know how to answer this question. I thought the ball was dropped when they did not give her a feud with Sue Young at one point. And I don't remember when Sue Young took out one of the Swingerellas. That's what it was. That was a real opportunity for them to do something, and they chose not to. They go back to the crutch, like I was saying with Josh and his wife. They go back to the Alicia, you're Eddie's wife crutch. You know, I would have put her in Honor No More, honestly. I would have done that. And for all the people be like, oh, well, she can't wrestle. Like, she's put in positions to be a jobber, and I would say she's had like three meaningful matches in her time with the company, and they were good. Like, if you look back at them, you know, in the Knockouts Tag Team Tournament, the Monsters Ball match, the match with Eddie against Angelina Love and Davey Richards, like when the matches mean something, like she's you know, does pretty well. Lots of comments have been coming in about Sue Young, and yeah, I want to see her back too. It's you know, I don't know if she ever will be back. I mean, it's Swan's wife, so she's still connected to the company, and maybe she just is being a stay-at-home mom right now. Who knows? You know, maybe she's not in like wrestling shape. I don't know, but I would love to see her back. This was, we were talking about earlier when Don Callis was around, really brought in talents that just stood out, whether it was Brian Cage, whether it was Sue Young, you know, Joe Hendry's first run. There was a few people he brought in that just really stood out from the rest of the roster. You know, so I would love to see Sue Young. Yeah, a lot of people saying this. I don't know what's going on. I think it would be a really good, you know, if they brought her back, like let's just say during Mickie James' rodeo, you know, last rodeo, if she just randomly popped out as like the next opponent, I think people would like really get behind that. What are your thoughts on Impact's announcement of their new action figure deals? It's pretty good news. The best Impact news in a while. People have been asking about this for a while. They really have. So I hope that they don't drop the ball. And when I say drop the ball, I just mean I hope that they don't take so long to do it that no one cares anymore. Jordan Grace tweeted a mock-up of her action figure the other day. I like to see more of that. That's marketing, getting people excited. What they did was Josh Matthews said something about it, and then nothing was ever said again. You know, that's very poor marketing. So I think that's awesome, because a lot of people are really interested in action figures, you know, as collectibles. You know, I'm not personally, but you know, a lot of people are. Impact Wrestling needs to bring in Mariah May. They really do, man. This girl, if you are not familiar with her, she is hotter than a $2 pistol. She really fits the what a knockout should be, you know. I think there's room for everything in the division, and I think they're due of a real, real hot chick, you know, in the division. So I think she would fit that role very, very well. Not to say the women there aren't attractive now, but you know what I mean? Just like coming in with those like model looks. Do I think Black Taurus ever get a run with the X Division title? I think if they decide, because the decay thing is not as good as it was before. It's not even close. It's not even scratching the surface of what decay used to be. I like Taurus a lot personally. If they kind of are like, yo, we're going to kind of pull the plug on the decay thing. We're going to have Steve as more of a mouthpiece, because Crazy Steve's a great talker. That would work. But you can't just have Black Taurus, who I'm not even sure he actually speaks English, like in real life. You can't just put the belt on him. You know, there's got to be someone speaking for him. I'm going to buy all four figures when they get released. Hope the line won't get canceled like the previous one. I didn't know they were only talking about four so far. I hope mid Cardona leaves with Chelsea. He'd only bring Brian Myers down, just like when they were in WWE. I like Cardona personally. I like Myers more. You know, they entertain me. So I just think there's more you can do with Cardona than what they are doing. They're kind of making him, I don't know, like he could be a badass heel, but he's just kind of doing the goofy heel shit, you know? So, okay, so four in the first line of action figures. Hopefully it's something they like really, really get on, you know, and stay consistent. And, you know, they've done good with the micro brawlers and the, you know, I guess decent with the trading cards, you know? So hopefully they're on it. I think their shop impact is there's a lot to be desired with that website, because it's just t-shirts, and there's other things you can do that don't cost a whole lot that people would buy, you know? Like, I mean, what if they did shot glasses with pictures of the wrestlers on them? The cat's losing his mind behind me. I don't know what he's doing. If they put out shot glasses, I'm just like off the dome here. And you had a little, you know, Jordan Grace, maybe like a cartoonish image, but something, you know what I mean? Like people would collect that. People like collecting things. You know, they would collect the whole set, you know? I think there's so much they could do with 8x10s, calendars. The idea I've always had with Shop Impact is take the main events. You can do it with all the matches if you want, but take the main event. Okay, we're running, we're selling the match graphic as an 8x10, signatures on each. We're only selling 100. They're $100 each, you know, shit like that. So I want to see them be more creative with merchandise. Do you think Impact would benefit from having Curtis Axel? I think he'd be good there, like the next EC3. WWE had hopes with him when they had him infused with Punk, Cena, and Triple H. I was watching WWE at the time. I didn't think that I didn't see much in him as far as getting him to that level. I know he was feuding with those guys, but I didn't think he was actually going to get there. That being said, I've always thought, I think he works backstage for WWE. I could be wrong, but that being said, I actually thought he would always be a good fit for Impact if they brought him in. I really did. I thought they were going to. I had an idea that they were. I mean, I had the assumption they were going to, but they did not. Moose, Eddie Edwards, Jordan Grace, and Deonna Purrazzo. Those are the action figures. Okay, that's a good way to start. Needs to bring back the knockouts calendar. I mean, seriously, is there a more no-brainer piece of item to put in the merch shop than a knockouts calendar? I mean, seriously, easy money. You take pictures of them anyway that they just post on Instagram. Yeah, I believe Curtis Axel or Curtis retired as an agent. And yeah, I was fairly certain he was an agent. I'm glad I have Big Con now. It was disgraceful having him lose in 5 seconds to Josh last time when he looked like a monster compared to Josh. That was embarrassing. I wasn't a big fan of that. They should bring in Victor too, have him in the X Division. What the hell's Victor doing right now? Like, I wonder. I haven't seen him like do indie dates or anything like that. I think once or twice, because they were called like the Awakening or something, the Ascension. because I'm an old school NXT fan, you know, I stopped liking NXT a long time ago, but the old school, I loved the Ascension back then, you know, and I still think that group when I see them. I was shocked Impact didn't bring them in as a tag team. Like, absolutely fucking shocked. Who's going to be in the calendar? Jessica. It's going to be 12 months of Jessica. No, I mean, the current division is not, it's not Christy Hemme and Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, like, physically, they're not those women, but they have attractive women. Like, they could, they're not calendar girls. I mean, obviously not, but they could make it work. Like, if you remember, they did the Elements photo shoot a while back. This was several years ago when Jeff Jarrett was around and actually gave a shit about merchandise and trying to do creative things. But the Knockouts had like the Elements shoot. So there was like, Rosemary, like, she was dressed like sexy, you know, but I think she had like fire maybe, or I think Ty Valkyrie maybe had fire. But you guys remember, like, it was different, like different elements or whatever. Stuff like that could, you know, work for a calendar, you know. Let's see. I hated that with Khan. I wonder where is Victor. Is Fulton signed? Thought for sure he'd be part of the Sammy EY feud. I know he did AEW Dark recently. He just he's not in AEW. He just did a match on AEW Dark as a tag team. I think they took on the Dark Order. They just threw him in a random team with a couple of jabrones. It was nothing. Thoughts on tomorrow's Thanksgiving themed episode of Impact? I didn't even know what the hell they were doing for tomorrow. I don't know why I said the word clearly. I routinely don't watch whatever they do on Thanksgiving. I always think it's a very stupid show. I did watch the Wrestle House because I like the Wrestle House stuff, but the turkey suit, all that shit, I've always hated that shit. So that's why we're kind of reviewing Overdrive in the middle of the week. So it's going to kind of act as a podcast to hold you over, because we're not going to review whatever the hell they're doing. We should hire Cody Hall. I knew some people. For those that you don't know, I'm in the Air Force. I was active duty for almost 15 years, and then I've been in the reserves for like 7. I knew people because Cody Hall and I did the same job on active duty, so I knew people that knew him. They said he was kind of a piece of shit. So I don't know. I never really seen the dude wrestle. I know his Wikipedia is like, you know, he got out of the Air Force to be a pro wrestler, but I was told, and I don't know how true it is, that he was actually kicked out. You got to be a dumbass to get kicked out of the military. Impact should have never released Eli Drake. They should have respected his preference not to wrestle Tessa. What happened was they thought he was replaceable. That's what it comes down to. If you guys remember, at the time, Impact was trying to like really put their foot down about stuff. This, you know, like the Broken Hardys, that was, I don't know if Scott and Don, I think they were maybe just coming on. I know Anthem was on there. That's when they were like trying to play hardball with wrestlers, and it didn't really work in their favor. I understand why they were trying to do it, but Eli Drake was not replaceable. He really stood out on that show. What do you think about Eli Drake, DJZ, and Desmond Xavier? Desmond Xavier doing good in WWE now? Like, good for them, you know? I rarely watch WWE. I'll get a pay-per-view every once in a while. I never thought Eli Drake was going to get to that level with them. So, I mean, good for him. DJZ, definitely. Desmond Xavier, you remember back when he first joined Impact? And he would go, like, 6-7 episodes without appearing on screen. And people were like, yo, we want to see him. You know, we've been seeing his talent for a long time. Jarrett was still in Anthem's ear. Yeah, I think Jarrett was kind of, yeah, he was part of that when they were like playing hardball with people. Yeah, I agree. Eli Drake would have left for WWE eventually anyway. He always acted like he wasn't going to. Like Cross was the same way. Cross was like, oh, I don't think they would push me the way I need to be pushed. Like the dude went there twice, you know? They fired him once and he still went back. Desmond Xavier is a phenomenal talent. I'm glad to see NXT season now. Yeah, he really is. That's another Air Force dude. Did same job as me, except he wasn't kicked out like old boy. Let's see, we'll do this for about 5 more minutes. See if there's anything here. WWE clearly sees Eli big because they got him. So, yeah, I saw someone say that earlier. He's going to feud with Bray Wyatt. Like, that's actually really interesting. I saw the clip on social media where Maxine called him Max, and he's like, don't call me that anymore. And went right back to the L.A. Knight. Like, he, you know, Triple H actually, you know, obviously got him his old gimmick back. And good for him. I hope that people see what we saw in him. You know, I went to that Impact versus Lucha Underground show, which I wish I didn't go to. But the guy behind me, what Eli Drake was wrestling, he was just like, oh my God, this guy sucks. Like, they actually put the title on this guy. This was their champion, you know? There's always that someone was in TNA, someone was in Impact. So WWE fans talk shit about them, and then they show up on their TV and they're like, oh my God, this guy's freaking amazing. What wrestlers would you bring into Impact? Most of the people that I would bring in at this point are knockouts, to be honest. Like Mariah May, like I said earlier, you know, Alexia Nicole. What was the girl AEW got that I was saying it before she went there? Oh my God, why is her name escaping me? Gray, from the baddies. Oh my God, the one I always say hottest chick in pro wrestling. What the hell's her name? I know someone's going to say something. Not Penelope Ford. She's fine as shit, too. The black girl on the baddies with Jay Cargill and Kiera Hogan. Not Anna Jay. No. Someone's going to say here. Not Red Velvet. Not Big Swole. She's a... I know she's a black chick. It's something gray. I know someone knows who I'm talking about here. Layla Gray, Trent Hatchett, shout out. I don't know why I can't remember her name. That was someone I really, really was like, yo, bring her in, you know? But AEW got to her. But that's someone who I think is really good. But I just think, yes, Layla Gray, she's black. Absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, I think that the X division and knockouts division is really where I would beef it up, because I think that's the one place they can remain competitive, and because they still provide such a good home for women's wrestling. You know, it's hard to find tag teams. It's hard to find main eventers. And, you know, I know there's people holding out for getting into the Ring of Honor thing. So they're going to have a hard time signing a lot of the main event dudes. I wish Impact would grab some MLW guys like Hammerstone and Fatu. You know what I mean? You know, if something ever happens to MLW, MLW has some dudes that Impact could, you know, basically snatch up, which would really beef up what they do in the main event. You know, NWA does not have that. They don't have that, but MLW's got a couple dudes because they're good at. MLW is very good at developing their own talent, you know, as I said earlier in the show, you know, like starting them from the bottom and start, you know, elevating them. Like they're good with that, you know. Big Swole and Tasha Steeles is the same mediocre gimmick. Big Swole's another fellow airman, so I wouldn't mind seeing her around. I got a different connection with Swole, though, because I know she has Crohn's disease, and my ex was with for a while, the one I was with when I first started this podcast, she has Crohn's disease. So that's a kind of a big part of my life. You know what I mean? So Giannis' contract is set to expire. I wouldn't be surprised if she was gone. I want them to get closer with OVW, bring guys up. Yeah, I think so too. They got a girl I really like in OVW, Holly Hood. What the hell's her first? Man, I don't know why I'm forgetting people's names. Nick Aldis. I really think they need Nick Aldis. I think they absolutely need to bring him in because he can come into main event immediately. And probably could do something very good with Josh, honestly. So I don't think he's on the other company's radars. So I think that would be really interesting. I think that they should definitely bring him in. I think Triple H definitely watch Impact with how he's having Samuel Shaw doing the same thing, Killer Cross too. Yeah, but they also probably talk to him and say, hey, this is what we did over there. NWA has Odinson. I want him in Impact Wrestling. I know he's in the group with the End, the tag team, but I haven't seen his partner in a while, so I don't know if that's still a thing. But yeah, he's that dude's built like a brick shit house. He looks like $1 million. He can definitely work. The majority of that roster is barnyard wrestling type of dudes now. You know, but yeah, I guess they got a couple people. I really liked OVE as a tag team. Unfortunate about Dave Crist. If you guys remember, I was a huge Dave Crist guy, you know, so I was really disappointed with what happened with him. And I was actually just thinking today, obviously Joey Ryan was fired, but what he was doing with the company with his new gimmick at the time and had the other Crist brother with him, you know, that was interesting. You know, they had RVD and stuff like that. That was interesting. We just never got to see what the hell they were going to do with it. But yeah, Jay Crist should absolutely still be around. That's just crazy. That's crazy that, but I don't think it ended on good terms with, his wife when she was with the company. So I don't think he's going to come back. And that's what I was told from someone within Impact. Because you remember when she was let go, she was actually like released from her contract. So something happened with her. So I don't think that Jake would come back. I think there was something else I was going to talk about here. Oh, when I was talking about the OVE. Yeah, that's that Don Callis era, though, you know, that I was talking about. OVE. That whole Me Too movement really hurt Impact. I mean, what these guys did hurt themselves, but I just mean because that was a thing and they lost Joey Ryan and Dave Crist and Michael Elgin. Like, they were, you know, respectively big parts of the show in their own right. Dion is advertised for Impact on the shows for Florida, so that's a good sign, yeah. I have a feeling... I know this is not Deonna, but Mickey. I have a feeling whatever she's doing with Deonna and then whatever she does after, I think she's going to still kind of like hang around in Impact. She's not going to go to NWA. And I mean, backstage, like working with Gail Kim. OVE had bangers with LAX. Like, OVE had an opportunity to really be on that LAX level, and they just didn't get him there. They beat him way too much. They took multiple L's to Tessa Blanchard. Look at what garbage Morrissey's doing AEW now. He should have just stayed. Same with Tennille. Impact should have paid Morrissey. You know, he was one of the better parts of the show. And then Tennille was, I always thought she was one of the better parts of the show, but I mean, I knew there wasn't much left for her to do. I liked the influence, and that was a lot of fun. Should have given that cancel culture gimmick with Heath. Yeah, that was the name of Joey Ryan's group. I just would have just been really, really interesting. How could it look at Tennille, make her face? She's supposed to be a heel. It's like in her blood. She's a much better heel. Even when Impact brought her in as a baby face, it was an absolute nightmare. I know they're calling her Emma again. Just ridiculous. Impact is a small stage, so it's easy to be top card, just like Kiera Hogan. No, I like to see Zach Wetz come back. Absolutely. And I think he will. I really do. I think it's just a matter of time. I think he'll be back. I'd actually would have preferred Havoc and Nevaeh. I'm not huge on the Death Dolls. I think the Death Dolls, I don't know. There's just something, I guess, because it's kind of different than what else is on the show. You know, I like that they have a good entrance and a good freaking song. Also, how many times has Madison retired and left Impact? I think she's going to be back eventually. She always seems to come back. Yo, her matches in AEW are horrible. Horrible. I don't know if she just knew how to work the Impact style in a smaller ring or what. Her matches stink. They're some of the worst. She had a match with Ty Mello about a month ago. And I love Ty Mello. That's like one of my favorites over there. That match was so bad. And then they did a tag team match. I think it was her and Sky Blue. I don't remember who they went up against. One of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. And Madison also just, it's the same, you know, pillow forearm, how she throws like that. Just, it's like a pillow hitting you. It's Step Up in Siguri, the Northern Lights. It's just all the same shit with her matches. But she's showing me that she's actually not good. I guess, you know, Impact really found a way to cover that up, but she's not good. I want to see Kimberly back. I liked what Kimberly was doing, to be honest with you. I liked her music a lot, too. What's Santana's contract status? His contract status is future NXT superstar. What do you think about Kimberly been saying she's still signed? She probably still is signed, but it's a per appearance deal. So she's not getting paid. Like she, you know, they seem to lock down the wrestlers that no one's really trying to sign. You know, they'll sign them to like a 3-year deal, you know, paying them $400 a month. She probably is under contract. The Bay needs to come back again. That's what I was saying. I don't believe that she left on good terms. So I don't think that's going to happen. Kiera Hogan was a tag champion in Impact. AEW, she's a baddie. When you got a small roster, you use what you got. AEW is very deep. I like what Kiera is doing as a baddie. I just like that little group. So I don't think they're going to put Kimber on TV until Zachary stuff, when stuff is cleared. I think we'll see Wentz on Impact Television before we see Kimberly. Madison's getting old now. I've told this story once or twice. Lots of Air Force stories today with wrestlers, but you know, her first husband was in the Air Force. He might still be. I don't know. He worked with my wife at the time. This is my wife that had passed away years ago. And I know she worked with Madison's husband. I don't know. I feel like she introduced me briefly. I don't remember. But yeah, let's see. Ty Conti can't wrestle. I like her as a valet. Madison needs to stay in AEW. She's over pushed garbage. AEW's exposing her. She's being exposed. I will say that. And I like her. I am a fan. But she's not good. Kiera Hogan got kicked out of the baddies. Oh, are you serious? That's stupid. I really like the baddies. I like her and Layla. And I was hoping they were going to bring Red Velvet back. And have them all. So I don't know why they would kick her out. That freaking sucks. AEW needs to stop booking Madison on every Rampage. She's not that good. Lots of Madison Rayne stuff. So I'm gonna answer one or two more things here, and then I'm going to go to sleep so that I can be up in the morning to do the turkey. Why they release Caleb Conley? He could have been the next Miz or Robbie E of Impact. Hopefully not Robbie E. I hate that dude. He was a good cowardly heel. Yeah, that was a really weird. I don't know why they released him. He was doing good things with the influence. I mean, they had this storyline with the influence and inspiration going on forever just to release Caleb. What did they do with Masha after she lost again? I don't know. I'm really interested to see. I mean, who else can she beat? I think they were fine just keeping her off TV for a bit until they found something for her. I would have rather her come in and attack Mickie James, you know, not to do this. This was just like, I believe Masha and Jordan had like a PWG match that got a lot of love. So I think they were like, oh, let's put them back in the ring together on Impact. It'll get people to sign up for the Insider, even though we don't tell them how to sign up for the Insider. So I don't know. I would imagine they're going to pair her up with Kelly, Killer Kelly. I was going to say Kelly. That would be something with Killer Kelly. But I don't think that's a smart idea because neither of them need to be losing. I'm laughing all these mad at Send Rain comments. Thank God we don't have hair on commentary anymore. One of the worst experiences ever, wrestling ever. I didn't mind her the second run on commentary. It was the first one where she only did the knockouts matches, but she was added nothing. She was very bad. But if once you hear Velvet Sky on commentary once, you're never going to think anyone else sounds bad ever again. Yim didn't fit in with this new management. She wasn't Jade anymore. I thought she fit in really well. I would have paid her. I really would have. Mia Yim, they changed her name, but because of internet backlash, they changed her name back to Mia Yim. Yeah, it is funny, though. Who's next for Josh after Bully? Bully might beat him. Him and Bully might feud for the majority of 2023. I think Josh's next match, though, is Rich Swann. They've been talking about that for a while. They just haven't like pushed it really hard on TV, but I think he's going to get Rich Swann here soon, which again is unnecessary because you're just feeding him everyone. I think Josh is going to lose though, personally. Gail Kim versus Mickie James one last time. Dude, yo, if that's the way that the direction this went, that would be freaking incredible. I don't think that's what it's going to be. I don't think Gail wants to wrestle. I understand why commentary kept saying Finn Juice's theme song was the best one. That song freaking sucks. Most of the Impact songs suck. Let's just be real. They have a few very good ones, but a lot of them are not good. You were right. Years later, the Good Brothers were waiting to leave. Apparently, they were in talks as soon as they left WWE while they were at Impact. Wow. I wouldn't be surprised. I really hope Impact learned their lesson with that, to just bring in someone in and say, hey, we're going to give you free reign to do whatever you want. You know, I said this a few months ago, the early days of TNA was special because people were coming in and they wanted to be a part of something. They wanted to build something. Now people are coming in as a booking, as a place to work, as a place to pay them for a little bit. They're not like, hey, we want to, like, that was what the magic of AEW was at first. Like, hey, we're going to come in and do something special here. We're going to build something. And people are not coming in at Impact right now. Hey, we're going to build something. We're going to build the next popular show. Like, that's just not how it is. What will Impact Wrestling do with Taylor Wilde? You can send her over to hang out with me. No, I love Taylor Wilde, man. I don't know. I think, I don't know. She's never really had that Deonna Purrazzo match that they've been, they were teasing for a while. I like her podcast though. Velvet Sky is horrible on commentary. Commentary on NWA is horrible. It really is. The NWA is bad. It's very, very bad. And it sucks because I used to love that show. They had the North bury the tag team division. Then they had the Good Brothers do that. Now the tag division's in shambles. That's exactly what happened, man. Like they bury the divisions, the people that have as the champions. They're not like strong champions, like, oh, they're just beating all these challengers. Like they, the North, I wouldn't say that so much, but the Good Brothers, they ruined the tag team division for the sake of those guys. And they're starting to get it back together a little bit, but it was absolutely freaking ruined because of them. Aren't many challengers left for Jordan. She's defeated everybody. I don't know. Jordan could be champion for a very, very long time. But that's why I'm saying they got to just continue to beef up the knockouts division, because that's where there's a lot of good talent out there unsigned. There's not a lot of male talent out there unsigned that you could come in and like really be your next big star. Chris Harris has been talking about wanting to work with Impact backstage, the management role. So we don't have Scott taking off the headset every time he's on screen. That isn't that annoying. I think he's like trying to pop himself. I think that's like a gimmick where, oh, the headset's coming off. The Scott part of Impact is so annoying, because it's like someone's walking in the hall, they bump into Scott. And then 2 minutes later, they go knock on the door. He's behind the door. And then the next person is doing an interview, and there's Scott at the interview. Like, he's around the entire freaking arena. It's just weird. They should have saved Masha versus Grace until next pay-per-view. I totally agree. Grace is on steroids. If you watch the interview a year ago and now her voice is totally different. I don't want to comment on that. I don't know. Her voice is different, though. Their main event scene needs help and has for years. How long is it going to remain an issue until 2037? Yep. Till December 31st of 2037. Yes, it's going to be an issue. And there's not, the thing is, they're trying to do the quick fix of, hey, we're going to sign these guys who were released by WWE 6 years ago. They could come in and do main event matches. They can have matches with Josh. And it goes back to what I said a little bit earlier. Like, when you take a sports franchise, they're drafting players to develop them as the next big thing. And that's not, Impact is not doing that. You know, like Rohit Raju should be in the main event scene, not released. You know what I mean? They should pair Dirty Dango with Joe Henry. I'm a power lifter. I can tell when someone's on the juice. Grace is also a state record holder for 2 deadlift records. It's common for athletes to use steroids. I can tell when someone's on the juice. I'll believe you on that one. Sounds like that's a field you know. Then I will trust you. I don't know what they expected this digital media championship to be. They expected to be a belt that they defended on Twitter specific matches, YouTube specific matches. Like when they're doing this digital exclusive match. Now they're just throwing garbage on there, but. You know, I thought they were going to defend the title there, defend it on Twitter. I think they said Facebook matches. There's a lot they could have done. You know, they could have really leveraged Instagram to build angles. You know, like there was, if you had like a real genius in there with marketing, man, they really could have done some like special things with that title that no one else was doing. But instead, it's just a joke title. So, yeah, I think we're gonna leave it there for me tonight, guys. So, thanks for tuning in. I'm gonna hit end broadcast. I gotta get take care of some things for Thanksgiving tomorrow. So, hope everyone has a good holiday. You guys continue to talk in the chat if you'd like. But I am out this piece. I'm your boy BQ. I will talk to you guys soon. I'm out.